This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C. with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Literature Update. I'd like to point out an article which was published online in JAMA on May 21st. At the same time, the study was presented at the ATS meeting recently in Philadelphia. In this study by Lupi and colleagues, the authors investigated the question of the duration of therapy with corticosteroids for acute COPD exacerbations. We've known for some time that steroids play an important role in the management of exacerbations. We have two major randomized controlled trials from 1999, one the VA study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the other the SCOPE study published in Lancet, that clearly document that corticosteroids are an important part of our toolkit for treating COPD exacerbations. The question that's remained, however, is what dose and what duration? The earlier studies clearly showed that a two-week therapy course was equivalent or non-inferior to extended six-week tapers for corticosteroids after COPD exacerbations. However, we know that longer courses of therapy with corticosteroids are always associated with a number of sequelae, including blood sugar issues, blood pressure issues, and osteoporosis in terms of repeated exposures, especially given that patients with COPD exacerbations as a phenotype tend to have more than one, and on average probably have two or three a year. Therefore, optimizing the dose of corticosteroids so that the patient gets just enough but not too much is an important clinical question. And that's what these authors focused on. They randomized approximately 300 patients to either receive 40 milligrams of prednisone daily for 5 days, a very short course of therapy, versus a 14-day course of therapy. And the primary endpoint was time to re-exacerbation, and the study was designed and powered to be a non-inferiority study. In other words, the authors wanted to answer the question, was a shorter course of steroids not inferior to a longer course of steroids? However, they also examined a number of secondary endpoints to see if there might be a potential benefit. The cohort primarily included patients with GOLD stage 4 disease under the old GOLD classification, and many of the patients had had exacerbations previously. Of note, however, fewer than maybe 15% of patients in each arm were HOMO2 requiring patients, so somewhat different from what we might see in the United States. When they looked at time to re-exacerbation between the two courses of therapy, they saw no difference. Exacerbation rates were similar. Quality of life measurements were similar. Rehospitalizations were similar. And either their subsequent need for corticosteroids or subsequent need for mechanical ventilation, all of those were also similar. The authors convincingly showed that you could accomplish with 5 days of corticosteroids what you historically thought needed to be accomplished with 14. Needless to say, this substantially cuts the risk of steroid exposure and the total steroid dose exposure substantially. What's interesting is that although these authors only saw trends towards some improvements in secondary endpoints, as I mentioned, they did in fact see that the length of stay was shorter by 1 day in hospitalized patients who received the 5-day regimen versus the 14-day regimen. So again, not only clear evidence that the shorter course regimen was as good as or not inferior to the longer course regimen, but some suggestive data to indicate that there might actually be a benefit. I think some caution, though, is warranted in interpreting that secondary benefit. In the United States, our durations of hospitalizations for COPD exacerbation on average last about 5 days. In this study, because it was done in Switzerland, the average duration of hospitalization was substantially longer. So it's not clear that that benefit would translate to what we might see in the United States. However, irrespective, just showing that you can accomplish the same clinically with less steroid exposure is something I think we all need to embrace. We've had a number of other studies in the last year or so that have looked at this question of corticosteroids and COPD, particularly one by a large administrative database analysis that was also published in JAMA that showed that we didn't need to use high dose, 125 milligram, blast the patient kind of corticosteroid doses in order to improve outcomes, and that you could use oral therapy even in hospitalized patients and achieve similar outcomes. So what I think's happened over the last 2 or 3 years is we've clearly seen the literature in COPD exacerbations indicate that steroids are crucial for the acute management of the syndrome, but we can titrate down the exposure that we're providing to these patients. And when you actually probably study a large enough population over a long enough period of time, because again, remember, most patients who have exacerbations don't have one a year, they have several a year. We're clearly going to see a benefit long-term by reducing overall corticosteroid exposure. Therefore, I think for most of us, we need to look back at even the most recent set of GOLD guidelines that have been published and realize that they're now even outdated because they do recommend a 10 to 14-day course of corticosteroid therapy. And so it looks like the optimal dose may be 40 milligrams a day thus far and only be necessary for 5 days. I think it is important to note that these authors, however, did not study a very critically ill population at all, where the risk-benefit trade-off with steroids and the response to steroids might be somewhat different. In total, however, we've seen our approach to COPD exacerbations change dramatically in the last couple years. We have good data on the use of non-invasive ventilation. We have good data now on the use of corticosteroids. We have good data on the use of antibiotics. Clearly, putting these together document that we have lots of ways to improve outcomes for our patients who have COPD exacerbations. Again, this article was published in JAMA Online May 21st. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.